Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call operator. Welcome to the presentation of consolidated results for the FNM Group as of September 30th, 2021. Let me remind you that all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the initial presentation, you will have an opportunity to ask questions. If you wish to receive assistance from an operator during the conference call, please press star zero. Let me now yield the floor to Ms. Valeria Minazzi, Investor Relations Manager. Ms. Minazzi, please.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome, and thank you for taking the time to attend this audio and web presentation of the results of the FNM Group as of September 30, 2021. Ms. Valentina Montanari, the Group CFO, and myself will illustrate consolidated results for the first 9 months of 2021. At the end of the presentation, you will be asked if you have questions. Now, Valentina Montanari will report.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for attending this conference call. We have reported our results as of September 30th, which see a major increase, which is due in particular to the acquisition of our participation in motorways, Milano-Serravalle and Milano-Tangenziale, which happened in late February 2021, which was consolidated starting on that same date. So we will give you an analysis of results in terms of reported results and also in terms of pro forma results, consolidating the acquisition from January 1st, 2020, and so that we can compare with the same period of 2021. As far as reported results are concerned, revenues are growing 78% from 206 to 377 million euros. Adjusted EBITDA is up by 111.8% with absolute values from 58.6 million for the first 9 months of 2020 to 124 in the first 9 months of 2021. EBIT grew by 143% from 28 million euros to 79 million euros. Adjusted net profit also still suffers from the equity controlled companies, which is still negative in the first 9 months of 2021, and it goes from 22.7 to 38.2. Net financial position stands at 22 million euros, whereas as of December 31st, it was about 44 million. Let me remind you that the issuer has an investment grade rating with both Moody's and Fitch. Moody's is Baa3 stable, and for Fitch Ratings, it's BBB- stable. As to the pro forma results and like for like results, the revenues are up 11% between the first 9 months of 2020 and the first 9 months of 2021. Revenues are from 397 million to 387 million. Then we'll look at the individual business areas that determine different increases. Adjusted EBITDA is up 12% from 121.5 to 136. EBIT is up 36% from 61 to 74. Adjusted net profit is basically in line with a slight drop of 4%, which is mainly due to our reporting the results of the, well, not subsidiaries really, because they are in the net profit scope. So this is mainly due to the financial charges due to the bridge loan, which we used to finance our acquisition. Net financial position, as I said earlier, is in line with our ratings. For the business KPIs and the performance in individual segments, I yield the floor back to Valeria Minazzi.
Well, thank you. Thanks to the outcome of the vaccination campaigns and to the lighter restrictions on traveling, in the first 9 months of this year, we saw a recovery of traffic and passengers transported in all sectors.
This growth was particularly strong in the management of motorway infrastructures, even though the numbers we have posted in these 9 months are still lower than they were before the pandemics. In particular, if we look at MISE, so the motorways, we can actually see that in the first 9 months, we have seen an increase of vehicles traveling on the motorway, which stands at 19.3%. This is due to our going back to pre-pandemic levels, or even increasing over the first 9 months of 2019. So an increase of what we call premium traffic, which is heavy vehicles traffic, whereas there is a slower recovery of light vehicles, which actually grew by comparison to the first 9 months of 2019, but are still lower by 18% than they were in 2020. At the same time, the growth of motorway traffic overall is still lower by 18% versus the first 9 months of 2019. As far as road transport is concerned, buses in particular, we can actually see that over the first 9 months of this year, the growth was nearly 8%, and the third quarter was a bit weaker because of the seasonal performance, because of the schools being closed in this period of the year. In the first 6 months of the year, most students studied remotely from home, and then schools were closed as usual during the summer. Now, let me come to Trenord. For Trenord, over the 9 months, there's a 9.5% increase compared to last year, which is a sharper growth, actually, during the third quarter. We should also point out that for the first 6 months, this growth was still actually lower than the levels of 2020, but starting from the month of September, we have reported sharp recovery of traffic of 520,000, 530,000 passengers per day, as compared to 820,000 before pandemics per day. And so this means a 9.5% increase versus the previous year. Compared to the first 9 months of 2019, however, traffic is still much lower. It's 48% lower. Should we go on with the next slide? This shows the quarter-by-quarter performance of these data. And we see that recovery did kick in the third quarter. In particular, as far as motorway traffic is concerned and railway passenger transportation, whereas in the third quarter we posted a decrease of road transport, passenger transport. So we can actually notice that there is a recovery on a quarter-by-quarter basis because we are actually bridging the gap between today and the pre-pandemic period. Also, in terms of productivity versus 2020, productivity has indeed improved and increased, and it's nearly back to pre-pandemic levels, so to the levels of 2019. And this is true both for road passenger mobility and for railway transportation. Slide 8 shows a quick overview of our results on a segment-by-segment basis. Once again, during the first 9 months, the group has shown good resilience. Actually, we posted relevant growth in terms of revenues and EBITDA, even though this was definitely a very difficult period and compared to another even harder period, the first 9 months of 2020. In particular, the two conventional, let's say, segments that are not connected to the traffic data have posted an EBITDA reduction, and as we'll see later, this is Rosco, the Railway Infrastructure Management. As far as Rosco is concerned, we have a leasing agreement with Renault, and for the motorway, for the railway maintenance operations, we have our service contracts. Now, following page, gives you more color. As far as the railway infrastructure management is concerned, revenues have increased by 1.9%, which means 1.8 million year over year. This growth is mainly due to higher revenues from leasing railway material, which was leased off to Regione Lombardia and managed on their account through Trenord. This implied a growth of revenues, whereas as far as revenues from contract service, from service contracts, that has offset the drop in traffic. Service contracts have slightly decreased year over year, 2.4 million euros less. And this is due on one side to the rescheduling of the railway service offered because of lower traveling passengers, and also because of the higher efficiency in the contracts as per original agreements. The performance we have obtained was partially offset by revenues paid by Regione Lombardia in 2020 to compensate for the impact of COVID. Of course, those revenues are one-off items that are not going to happen again in the future years. And as far as other revenues are concerned, we also have higher proceeds from design services and from the review of our inventory and stock. EBITDA decreased by 2.7 million euros. This is mainly due to higher costs, and higher costs are due to higher costs in design, in particular for infrastructure and maintenance. Then we incurred higher costs for the management of real estate, in particular sanitation, cleaning, hygienic procedures, and so on. And also we had to sustain higher IT costs. Also, we posted more amortization, so for the maintenance of the rolling stock, and this higher provisions offset the biggest revenues from leasing trains to Regione Lombardia. As far as the cost of labor is concerned, cost of labor has increased slightly, and we had a lower cost of maintenance because of timing and phasing. Let me now come to terminals operations. The situation here is pretty stable, both in terms of revenues and in terms of EBITDA year over year. Let me now talk about the Rosco business. Here we posted a reduction of revenues by 2.7 million euros. This is due in part to lower revenues from rolling stock leasing, which is relevant mostly to leasing contracts on TAF trains leased to Trenord, which was partially offset by new leasing contracts that were underwritten for new locomotives and new trains that have been leased out to Trenord and Litargo. As far as services and other revenues are concerned, they increased by 0.7 million, and this is mainly due to services offered to subsidiaries, and these are both administration and IT services. Also, lower income is reported from leasing of commercial locations and buildings, and we have a one-off proceed from the sale of a building in 21. EBITDA decreased by 4.1 million euros. This was partially due to lower revenues and partially to higher costs. Higher costs are mainly IT costs, insurance costs, and higher personnel costs, which is also affected by a different accounting system, in particular as far as performance bonuses are concerned. Also, we posted some startup costs for the business of FNMPE. Let me now come to road passenger mobility. As far as revenues are concerned, revenues increased by 20 million euros. This increase is due, well, partially to higher proceeds from public contracts. These are mainly connected to higher government compensations to restore lower ticketing revenues and additional services. These compensation measures are 9.2 million euros for this three quarters. And as we already said when presenting previous quarter results, these values may actually be subject to change or integration or corrections depending on what the government will decide later on during the year. Also, higher revenues are posted, which are due to an increase in outsourced transport services to allow for social distancing and better services. We actually have transported more passengers, plus 8%, and we also posted an increase in the car sharing business. EBITDA grew by 0.7 million, and actually this growth is partly due to higher revenues, but also to higher costs. And the higher costs are mainly due to outsourced services, which we did to allow for better services and more social distancing, more higher fuel costs and higher cleaning and sanitation costs for our passenger vehicles. Let me now come to the motorway infrastructure management. Revenues increased by 27.4 million euros. This growth is due to higher tolling revenues because of the higher traffic level of this period, even though tariffs did not increase. As far as revenues from service areas concessions are concerned, this also increased by 3.8 million euros. Bigger revenues translated into higher EBITDA by 20.5 million euros. And this result also reflects higher operating costs because of higher collection fees, concession fees, electricity consumption because of higher mobility levels. We also sustained higher labor costs, and this was partially offset by lower maintenance costs, which are due to a phasing of road paving, which was done earlier than originally scheduled last year when vehicle traffic was extremely low because of the pandemics. Let me now show you the bridge all the way from EBITDA to the bottom line, so we can actually see that adjusted EBITDA the difference between adjusted EBITDA and EBITDA is due to some extraordinary income. So these gains are partially the release of a risk fund, which was due to the end of a litigation with Agenzia delle Dogane, but this is partially offset by the costs for the acquisition of Mise. Some of those costs had already been presented when we posted the results for the first three quarters of 2020. Also, amortization stands at 62.1 million euros. This D&A is actually growing slightly compared to the year before because of depreciation and amortization on new rolling stock that just started in service and bigger investments on the motorway infrastructure. EBIT stands at 74 million euros. And as Valentina said earlier, we have a pretty remarkable impact of net financial income in these first 9 months. However, this is an extraordinary item because quite a large chunk of that 17 million euros are due to fees on the bridge loan and front fees, which are not going to be recurring in future years. In particular, during this period, the interest on financing was 14.8 million euros, with the 6.2 million euros the year before, and 13.6 million were connected to the bridge loan, and of that, 8 was non-recurring fees. We should also point out that last year, in this period, there was a gain and of 1 million euro, which was due to the sale of Lock Italia. So for this reason, the adjusted net result is slightly lower than the year before, 42.4 million euros. And it actually shows a growth up to 25.5 million of the group net results as against 24.3 the year before. And this considers the profit from companies, or better, loss from companies accounted by equity. This is mainly due to the performance of Trenord. So the results of Trenord on one side had the positive impact of compensation from lack of ticketing, 72 million euros, whereas on the other side, this also discounts the higher level of traffic we have posted in this period. However, this is offset by a different ticketing mix. So Trenord, during this period, has 535 million revenue, 77 million EBIT, and a net loss of 24.8 million euros. In any case, this is improving vis-à-vis the year before by 15.8 million euros. Let's now look at financial management and cash flow. This is the cash generation during this first 9 months, of course. It is positively impacted by the operating management, which is plus 157 million euros. On that, the net working capital changed by 50 million euros because of higher advances to suppliers in view of the progress of orders of rolling stock financed by Regione Lombardia. And as far as cash generation is concerned, another impact was that of investments paid during this period for the total amount of 113.7 million euros. As we saw at the first half reporting, this period's cash flow also feels the impact of the acquisition of Mise. And the effect of the acquisition of Mise is explained in detail in slide 13. This actually implies an increase of the net financial position, 732.7 million euros more, in which Mise accounts for 678.9 million euros. So this is a significant impact due to our paying the share acquired from Regione Lombardia and the second tranche which we acquired from FTM. And to that, we should also add debt consolidation due to the change in the consolidation scope. The debt, as we said before, the net financial position is absolutely in line with our expectations, and it's also in line with requirements from the rating agencies to keep our investment grade rating for the company. Gross debt composition, slide 14. Here we can see that liquidity is still pretty high and pretty good. Cash available is 240.3 million euros, and so we have quite a few uncommitted lines. As of September 30, so before the bond was issued, because it was issued on October 13th, 2021, we can see that debt was mainly due to the bridge loan and the Mise bank debt. Most debt is short term. The bridge loan, in particular, is short term, and most of it is due to variable rate debt. Following page. This shows the effect of the issuance of the bond. We issued a bond on October 13, €650 million, with a maturity of 5 years. We did it within an EMTN program for a total of up to €1 billion. The bond underwriting was 3 times the offer, and most of the bond was bought by non-Italian investors. This bond guarantees a fixed yearly coupon of 0.75%, and the rating is BBB- and Baa3, both with stable outlook, in line with F&M SPA, which is the issuer. The bond was used in particular to repay the bridge loan, which was set to expire, and the remainder was used for general corporate purposes. The charts show the differentiation of sources. The red part is the bond, which was mainly used to repay the bridge loan. So we can notice that the non-current component of the debt increases. The remaining duration of the debt goes from slightly more than 2 years as of September 30 to over 4.5 years. And as far as the rate is concerned, the bond allowed us to benefit from a positive market conditions. And so the average rate shifted from over 2% to about 1.5% to 1.7% for 2021. Let me now yield the floor back to Valentina, who's going to present the outlook. Thank you. As we saw from the third quarter's number, we can see that during the third quarter, we went back to good levels, satisfactory levels, in line with the traffic data, in particular for motorways, that we had recorded in 2019. Slide 17 shows the impact of COVID, and so we So in the consolidated accounts, we have a low level of impact on revenues and EBITDA. And as far as individual segments are concerned, Rosco Services, Railway Infrastructure Management suffered no revenue impact in 2020 already. Whereas as far as EBITDA is concerned, Rosco was totally neutral in 2020 and still is in 2021. On the other hand, the Railway Infrastructure Management also posted a very limited impact, which was mainly due to property management. As far as road passenger mobility is concerned, the situation has improved, also considering some funds that have been paid out by the government to support and compensate for this type of business and the losses it suffered. And also we actually saw the impact of easier measures to contain COVID and passenger mobility. So the average impact on revenues is actually better than the high impact we had the year before. And the same is true for EBITDA. We went from medium gravity impact to low impact in this particular year. As far as the motorway infrastructure management is concerned, the impact had been estimated to stay in the orange range, both for revenues and EBITDA during 2020, and this was due to the lower traffic that had been recorded last year. In 2021, the average impact is considered to be of medium severity, also because actually the government has decided to give no funds or contribution or any kind of support to this business area to try and support the revenues that these companies had lost in 2020. Now, Trenord, railway transportation, so the situation here was a high-impact situation to begin with. It became easier and easier, especially because of the performance of the third quarter. So we now stand at a medium-impact level in terms of both revenues and EBITDA, whereas in the previous view, the impact was estimated to be high. We still have implemented a cost controlling measure that is actually covering all of our costing system. Let's now move to slide 18 to see our targets. In view of the evidence I just reported during the third quarter and in view of the performance in the first few days of November and the whole month of October, we actually improved our guidance and revised it upwards. As for revenues, we can see here both versions of the guidance with reported data and like-for-like basis data. As far as reported data are concerned, the revenues are set to increase by about 80%, whereas on a like-for-like basis, we expect growth to be around 10%. EBITDA adjusted, well, based on reported data, it should multiply by two, whereas for pro forma data, EBITDA is expected to grow, increase by about 10%. As far as the adjusted EBITDA margin is concerned, we expect it to increase by 7 basis points in reported data and to be in line with the past years when we consider like-for-like data. Net financial position is going to stay the same in both cases, and it will be compatible with our keeping the investment grade level with the criteria used for giving an investment grade rating to these companies from the individual rating agencies. So as you see here, guidance improved, as we had already seen in the first half data, and as we had already seen in our preview at the end of July, and we could actually appreciate this further during the third quarter and the first 2 months of the fall season. So there's a further improved, and it should be anywhere between +70% and +80%. And so EBITDA is also set to increase on a like-for-like basis from slight increase, low single digits, to around 10%. I think that's all from me here. So if you have questions, now is the time to ask them. Now, this is the Chorus Call operator speaking. We can start the Q&A session now. If you have questions, please press star one on your phone to exit the list of people asking questions. Please press star two. Please ask your questions using the receiver. If you have questions, please press star one now. So we have a first question from Stefano Gamberini of Equita. Please.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. I have three questions. So the first is about this +10% guidance on a like-for-like basis of EBITDA. So the starting base is 147 million euros reported in your presentation and of the end of the year. So is 10% based on this data, and then I'll have to remove another 10 million euros for the non-consolidation of MISA during the month of January. Then I have a second question on investments and about the cash flow of investments. So you report -114 million euros of investment. But as I read your press release, I read here that the overall investment stands at 348, which comprises investments with public funds and private funds. But with private owned funds, the value would be much lower. It would be about 70 million. So I'm looking at page 6 in the press release. How do you compare these 60 million with 113? Is it the same thing? Is it just a question of timing of payments? Or does that 113 include public funds too? My final question is on Trenord. Now, if I got it right, Trenord posted a loss of 25 million euros with 72 million euros of ristori, of government compensation funds. So can you help us understand that? How much compensation will you receive from the government between today and the end of the year? Do you have any visibility on possible future increases? Please remind us how much that was last year. And if I get you right, the trend of passengers is improving anyway. So could you please give us some visibility on the fourth quarter? Schools are open again. So what's happening with passenger traffic? Where do we stand today compared to 2019? And what can we expect for next year for Trenord again? Thank you. Thanks. As to your first question, the guidance for like-for-like, well, on a like-for-like basis, guidance includes revenues and EBITDA consolidated on a 12-month basis for both years, so January included, and it stands at around 150 million euros, as we already reported. So this is what we've considered based on our plan too. And so here you should take this number as the official number. Okay, so 150 is the starting point, let's say, because I read 147 in the presentation, so 150 is the starting point, right? Yes, this is the adjusted datum for the official pro forma value we have published when we issued the bond and published our business plan. Okay, thank you. As far as investments are concerned, I can confirm that the investment in the cash flow is the investment we have already paid. So there still are some investments which we have incurred in the year before and paid in this period. So this is just investment you made without the investments with public funds, right? Yes, exactly. Okay, good. And as far as Trenord is considered, well, I can confirm that last year the government funds for Trenord were about 80 million euros, and actually the current forecast is still in line. And in terms of government funds, we're still in line with the same amounts. As you know, we're still tending to have a pretty cautious attitude, because the determination of government funds will also have to be based on government decisions for each individual industry and business. As far as the traffic is concerned, in particular for passenger movements on the railways, as we said in our presentation, starting in the month of September, we did post an increase in the amount of passengers transported, and this increase has implied an increase on the first 9 months, which is also confirmed for the future months. It's pretty stable, but it's confirmed to continue. So by the end of the year, we are expected to post an increase vis-a-vis the previous year, which should be anywhere between 25% and 30% compared to 2020. But in any way, that will still mean we'll be over 40% lower than the data of 2019. So we do expect a sharp recovery, but we're still very cautious about that. You know, over these last few months, we still feel a lot of uncertainty because of COVID. We're not yet totally aware of
how people's behaviors will and habits will change. So we still consider a pretty flat curve in our increase between now and the end of the year. Also based on what we're observing now, so there was a first growth and then it actually flattened out and didn't increase as sharply as the beginning. Okay, can we look at the third quarter, which you reported at page 7? That shows minus 30, not minus 40. So my question is that minus 30 increasing in October and November, or improving, or is it still minus 30 like it was in the third quarter? I'm trying to understand the trend in the last few months compared to 2019 again. Okay, just give me a sec. Yeah, so the idea is that towards the end of the year, we may actually stand at 120 million passengers transported for the whole year, for the whole 2021. As against the 214 million before COVID. Okay, thank you very much. Let me remind you that the original plan forecast thought we would be flat on the same data as 2020. So we have improved compared to our early forecast. Thank you. Please let me remind you, if you want to ask questions, you can do so by pressing star 1 on your phone. The next question is from Luca Baccoccoli of Intesa San Paolo. Please. Good afternoon. Can you hear me? Okay. Good. I also have a few questions for you. And I should start with CAPEX on 2021. Would you please kindly give us an idea of how much you're going to invest in 221, up from the 213 million of the first 9 months. And my second question is about the review of guidance. What business was responsible more than others for this review of guidance and estimates, and what kind of traffic forecast do you have in mind for motorways in 2021 as compared to 2019? Is it, I don't know, minus 10, minus 7? I don't see that number in your plans. Then I have another question on the average cost of debt in 2022. You said 1.5 to 1.7% in 2021, but the impact of the bond you recently issued are not fully visible yet. So I think in 2022, this cost will be even lower. So could you please give us some information about that? And then I have a final question on the subscriptions, passenger subscriptions. Do you see any growth in the amount of passengers buying subscriptions to Trenord or bus transport too? That might be an indicator of a more or less normalized situation in people's traveling habits. Thank you. Thanks. First question is about CAPEX for the 12 months, right? Yes. Let me look for that number. So once we're looking for that number, would you please remind me of your other questions? The average cost of debt in 2022, I think maybe Massimo Cinotti is the right person to answer you. He certainly has this information on his fingertips. Thank you. This is Massimo Cinotti speaking. So yes, I confirm what you said earlier. In 2022, the average weighted cost of debt will be definitely lower. We expect it to be around 1.5%. Okay, thanks. Then, as we said during the plan's presentation, during 2021, we expect to have CAPEX, overall investment, in the region of 170 million. Thanks. Then the other two questions were about the drivers behind your guidance review and the motorways traffic data. Yes, so drivers for traffic estimates. So the estimate on future traffic is confirmed as higher than 2020, because actually we have already calculated data up until the third quarter. They are up from 2020, but they're still lower than 2019, and we're lower double digit. And there's a pretty big difference between heavy vehicles and light vehicles, of course. As far as the guidance review for EBITDA is concerned, this was mainly due to our review in the EBITDA for road passenger mobility. This was actually receiving some subsidies from the government, and also we are doing better than originally expected in terms of the motorway infrastructure management. Okay, thanks. My final question was about train subscriptions. Oh, yes, right. So as far as train subscriptions are concerned, we can actually say more or less the same thing we said when speaking of railway traffic. I mean, people's habits are changing. People's traveling patterns are different. What we see right now is a lower loyalty level. So people don't buy so many subscriptions. They tend to buy just individual tickets or maybe monthly subscriptions more than yearly subscriptions. And this is definitely due to people's new habits and to the new kind of travelers we tend to serve. There's still a lot of uncertainty. So starting from September, you have noticed no particular change in this trend. You didn't sell more longer-term subscriptions than individual tickets? So could you please rephrase your question? I'm afraid I didn't get it right. Yeah, my question was, in September, people went back to school and back to the office, and pandemics seem to be a bit better under control. So did you see more people buying subscriptions than individual tickets? Did it change compared to the previous months? Yeah, there was an increase during the third quarter, but we actually sell a lot of, let's say, short-term ticketing services. So especially compared to 2019, we tend to sell more individual tickets or monthly subscriptions than yearly subscriptions, which we sold a lot in 2019. That's not back yet. However, even though we still see that people did change their traveling habits and patterns, so they went back to buying quite a few monthly subscriptions, which are very good for our revenues, even though we're not back to normal passenger levels yet. So we have noticed that people do buy monthly subscriptions even though they don't use the train service every single day to go to the office and commute. During weekends, in the third quarter, we have noticed that Trenord has gone back to the same amount of passengers it served before COVID. So we need to try and understand how our users and passengers will go back to their normal, let's say, traveling habits and patterns. For instance, the heavy vehicles traffic is now higher than in 2019, whereas light vehicles are still 20% less than we had in 2019, year to date, as of the end of September. Okay, thanks. Thank you. If you have other questions, please press star 1 on your phone. So if you have questions, please remember to press star 1 on your phone. Ms. Montanari, Ms. Mirazzi, so far we have no other questions in the line. Okay, thank you. So thank you all for attending and listening and for your questions. So we'll be back to you in March when we'll present the full year data.